Morning, you can turn in your pew Bible to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to learn about Matthew this morning. Matthew's a tax collector. You probably learned that in Sunday school at some point in your life and as one of the disciples, but we're going to learn about his life this morning. What you're going to find quite interesting in my message this morning, I've been preaching to you over and over that these 12 disciples, they have a very special calling to follow Christ and to minister to the world. But they're still ordinary people who sin. And you're going to learn about the life of Matthew today. And so let us read Matthew 9, beginning at verse 9, and we'll take that through verse 12. And it's entitled, The Calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've opened your book, the Word, Lord, we pray that your Word will go out from there. Lord, may you bless this message this morning as, Lord, the words leave my mouth. May your Spirit guide and direct them, and may this be your teaching and never my own. I pray for those that have gathered here today, Lord, in your spirit to hear your message. May you teach them something new, Lord. May they be strengthened and encouraged in their Christian walk in this world. And so we pray for them to just be opened up. Lord, may you just open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive your word today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. How many of you are fans of the IRS? I would expect that none of you would raise your hand this morning. Or how many of you enjoy paying taxes when that comes around? Maybe every quarter, depending on your business, or once a year. Now, I realize that taxes do have a place of our well-being in our society. It pays for things. Sometimes way more than we want it to, or we think that it shouldn't go for certain things that the government does in our life. But yet, it does do some positive things for us. But what if you knew that you were getting taken advantage of and had to pay taxes that were unfair and unregulated in your life? How would that make you feel? Probably not so good. Matthew would be a modern-day IRS agent. He did exactly what I just told you about, unfair. He treated people not only unfair, but he treated them with contempt. He treated them maybe kind of brash as he collected taxes, as he was a tax collector. And so we're going to learn about this just a little bit here this morning. So he took advantage of people's lives, their financial positions and situations that they had. This is the kind of person we're talking about this morning. Now, there are two types of tax collectors that I want to talk to you about this morning. I found this quite interesting. I never knew this before as I studied this passage this week. And so let me just give you the two types. This would be Greek words. So we're going to call the first one gabai. So the gabai is a type of tax collector that would collect taxes on property, income tax, and maybe even poll tax. A gabai tax collector. Those were familiar in Jesus' day and at the time of Matthew. Now, these tax collectors were honest. They had a set rate, much like we have in our system today. You're going to pay a certain percentage for whatever you do or whatever income bracket you're in. The gabai were in those types of situations in the Roman government in Jesus' day. All right? Now, the second type of tax collector that we're going to learn about is the Mokis tax collector. They're a little different. They collect taxes on imports, on exports. They would have tolls on bridges There would be a tax booth there that you would have to pay to cross a bridge. They would tax beasts of burden. If you had a team of oxen, maybe two or four, they would tax you accordingly to how many oxen you had. They would tax you on axles on your cart. If you had two axles or one axle on your cart, they would tax you accordingly to that. And anything that moved, they would tax. Now, here's the hard part about the Mokese as they taxed people. They were crooked. They worked with the Roman government. They did not have set rates. Their way of doing tax was to get as much as possible from these people. They'd negotiate. What can you afford? And they'd push. And sometimes it would be quite steep. The Mokese kind of tax collectors, they were hated. People didn't like them. It cost a lot of money. And so now let me also tell you that there's two types of Mokese tax collectors as well that I want you to be aware of this morning. And we're going somewhere with this because you're going to learn about where Matthew fits in here, okay? And so hold on to this. How many of you have heard the story of Zacchaeus? Right? All we've heard that. What was Zacchaeus' job? He was a tax collector, right? Now, if you go to let me look up the passage here for you this morning. Luke 19, verse 2, I'm not going to read that to you, but he was called the chief tax collector. He would have been referred to as the great Mokese. He would have been kind of the guy that was over top of several little Mokeses that would have been out in the field collecting taxes. That was Zacchaeus. Now, Matthew, he would have been a little Mokese. He would have been the guy that would have been in the booth along the road or by the bridge, and he would have been dealing directly with the people. That's Matthew. And remember what I said about the Mokese, the people did not like the little Mokese because they charged what they wanted, they pushed people out of their comfort zone, and they kind of robbed people to cross bridges and use roads and tax them on their carts and their oxen and whatever they had. That was Matthew, the little Mokese, the tax collector who worked on the road, the tax collector that everybody knew and everybody hated. And if you were a tax collector, by the way, they were on the same status socially as a harlot. That's how they were treated if you were a tax collector in the Roman government. Now, also, you need to know, and this twists things even deeper, Matthew is a Jew. He's not a Roman citizen. He's in the Roman government, but he's a Jew. And so you can about imagine what it's like with the Jewish people, knowing that Matthew is sided with the Roman government, and he's a tax collector on top of it. Not a very well-liked guy. His reputation was not good, and people knew him. And so now you got a little bit of an idea of what Matthew was like before he's called by Jesus into the ministry. Now here are a few other facts about Matthew that I want to share with you this morning. He was the author of the book of Matthew, right? Like, duh, Rob, we know that, but not everybody knows that. But he would have penned the book of Matthew. He was the most notorious sinner of the 12 because of his job. He robbed people through his collection of taxes that were unfair and so on. He turned on the Jewish people. He sided with the Roman government. And then it goes on and on and on. His Jewish name would be Levi. That would have been his Jewish name. And you can find that in Mark 2, verse 14. He is the son of Alphaeus. We know that much about him. We don't know much more about his personal life than what we have right there. So we know that he's a Jewish tax collector who sat with the Roman government. Tax collectors were men who bought a franchise from the Roman government. You had to have a franchise from the Roman government to collect taxes as a tax collector within that country. Matthew bought one of those. He collected taxes somewhere along the way. And because of his profession, get this, He was not allowed to worship in the synagogue. He was literally kicked out of church because of his profession. So hold on to that thought and that idea this morning. But Matthew also knows his Bible very well. If you were to read the book of Matthew, he quotes the Old Testament 99 times. More than Mark, Luke, and John combined. Matthew quotes the Old Testament that much. He knew the Torah. He knew the words of the prophets. He must have sat in the synagogue as a young man or a young child, and he heard the word of God. He was aware of it. He understood it. Remember those things that I tell you this morning. He also would have been aware that there was a coming Messiah. He would have heard about the work of Jesus in the territory that he lived. He would have been aware of the miracles that Jesus was doing. He probably knew about John the Baptist. He heard what was going on down at the river. It was making sense to him. He knew the Old Testament. It was coming together for him. But according to what he had been taught in the Old Testament, he lived under the law, which he was not keeping. He deserved hell. Probably what he would have thought. He was a sinner. He lived a sinful life. He'd been kicked out of the synagogue, the church. Says, you can't worship with us anymore as a Jew because of your sinful ways, of your lifestyle. And so here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. So you have a man who was despised for his wicked work, kicked out of the church for his profession, disliked in his community that he lived in, and he was a traitor to his own people, the Jews. And one day, Jesus comes walking along, walks by Matthew's tax booth, and he says this to him in Matthew 9, verse 9, follow me. Undeserving, Jesus knew his background, knew his heart, realized how bad of a person he was. And he walks by Matthew, who's doing his work, and he says, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew says, nope, I'm not doing it, and he resists, right? No. Matthew drops everything. He gets up from his tax booth, which he had a franchise for. He was making good money, more than likely. He didn't have a lot of friends. And he follows Jesus. And he leaves it all behind. You know what Matthew heard when Jesus said, follow me? He heard these words come through to him. I am worthy. I am forgiven through Jesus Christ. Because he was called by Jesus. Now remember, he knew the Old Testament. He knew about this coming Messiah that would come to save his people from their sins. And he got it. And I know that the Holy Spirit was working here in Matthew's heart. And it turned him on. He realized it. And he followed Jesus. How many of you here this morning need to hear these words? Follow me. Because you're forgiven. Because you're worth it. Because he loves you. Even though you might have a heap of sins, even though your sins you might think are worse than the next person's, and there's no way that God can forgive me or let me come into the presence of heaven. Remember what Matthew was like. Socially, he was no better than a harlot. And if you don't know what a harlot is, bump the person next to you and ask them what that is, and they'll tell you. You know where they're at. That's what Matthew heard that day when Jesus approached him. Follow me. You know, Matthew never looked back when he heard those words. He had an entirely new life. Everything had changed for him when he had met Jesus. A lot of you have met Jesus and your lives are different. Everything's changed for you. You know how Matthew probably felt. Some of you might have been there. And maybe some of you are approaching that point in your life. I don't know where you're at in your journey, but you know, most of you accepted Christ and you professed your faith, and maybe not all of you, and maybe someday you'll be at that point, and I pray that you do. But Matthew was so excited when he accepted Jesus, and he left his sinful life behind, and there's something new in front of him. He's excited about it, and what does he do? He decides he's going to throw a party, and he's going to invite his friends over. You need to meet this Jesus Christ and how it's changed my life and what it's done for me. And so he has all his friends over. How many of you in here like to throw a party once in a while and gather all your friends and celebrate? Anybody like to have a party once in a while? Yeah, a few of you do. Very good. Yeah, we gather as families, we gather as neighbors. Yeah, they're excited up here. They're ready to have a party. Grandma and Grandma are going to be busy this afternoon. Right? So, but a party. So Matthew's excited. Yeah, they want to have a party. And so he brings his friends over. And let me just read this to you this morning. If you're, grab your pew Bible. This explains it better as you can follow along. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Get your Bible out this morning. Luke chapter 5, verse 29 through 32. All right, I'll read this to you this morning. You follow along. It's Luke's calling of Matthew in his life. He's accepted Jesus. He's left the tax booth. And he's going to throw a party now for his friends. And this is what happens. All right? Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus. Now remember, Levi is Matthew. Right? His Jewish name was Levi. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors. Now how well-liked were tax collectors? Where were they socially on the scale? Remember that? He brings all his friends over. Tax collectors. People that were not liked. And others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that would have been the church people. Those in the synagogue were gathering and they were noticing what was going on. Who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples. They went to Jesus' disciples. Now all these disciples we studied so far would have been there with them with Jesus. Right? Nathaniel would have been there. John would have been there. Philip would have been there. Now Matthew's there and they're eating with Matthew and his buddies. You can just about see it. They've gathered up and they're probably spilling out into the street because it's probably a pretty good sized party going on because they had small houses back then, and maybe they're cooking some food on the fire outside, and you can about imagine being on your patio somewhere. Okay? And the community's seeing this. And this is what they ask. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? That's what they want to know to his disciples. Who is this Jesus, this Messiah, if he does these things? And Jesus, of course, he hears everything. He knows what's going on. And he says this to them. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Is what he says to them. Who did Matthew invite to his party? It was lowlifes. It was tax collectors. It was people on the bottom of the scale in their lives. They weren't worthy to society. They were hated by society in their lives. You know, when you think about it, who else would befriend Matthew? The only friends he's going to have are people like him, right? Tax collectors. He hung out with the riffraff of society. That's who Jesus wanted to eat with. Wow. Jesus and his apostles. Disciples at this point yet, because they're still learning. They gladly came to hang out with him and offer healing and forgiveness of their sins. Notice the establishment. The Pharisees, the religious people, didn't approve. They said, your ways are not right. That's not how God works, is what they thought. You know, I wonder, does some of that still go on today? Oh, that can't be how God works. Don't ever hold back the Spirit of God as He does His work in the kingdom here on earth. Test it, Mike, for sure test it. Make sure it's the Spirit of God, because He'll never call you into sin or sinful ways. But be aware of that. So let me ask you this question this morning. Here's the million-dollar question that I want you to think about in life. Let's see. Let me get to the next one. I had it on. Here we go. Who are you hanging out with? Let me scoot ahead here. There we go. Who are you hanging out with in your life? Who are you associating with? I want you to think about the society we live in today. Who are the riffraff? I'm not going to define that for you. You need to define that. Who are the people that maybe society forbids, or they've cast out, or they push to the side? Who are the people that live on the fringes in your communities? Inwood, Dune, Larchwood, Canton, Lester. Who are those people? You know, there's a term that's used today in Christian circles. How many of you ever heard of the Matthew Party before? Anybody heard of the Matthew Party? Nobody's heard of the Matthew Party? Very good. You're going to learn what a Matthew Party is today. All right, this is something that I learned in seminary, and it's been going on for many, many years. All right, we read that story in Luke. You've seen a little bit of it in Matthew 9, verse 9, as we read that today. Matthew invited sinners to his house. He invited the riffraff to his house with the intention of showing them and sharing them Jesus Christ. That was his goal. So you can about imagine what a Matthew party looks like today. And so what a Matthew party is, people of God, is that you invite people that are not associated with the church, that maybe don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you invite them into your circle of influence, and you start to hang out with them, and eventually, maybe you have the opportunity to share the love of Christ. That's a Matthew party. That's what Matthew did. We have a great example of another way to disciple the people in our world. You've got a group of people sitting around you this morning that are Christians, believers in Christ. A few of you get together and you invite a few people that maybe aren't churched and you have supper with them. You see how that works? The influence that you can have in other people's lives. And you disciple, by the way. You know, everybody says, well, discipleship is so hard. Not if you invite your unchurched neighbor over for supper. It's not that hard. You get to know them. They get to know you. They see Christ that lives within you in the way you act and the way you talk and maybe the way you pray. And they begin to see Christ and they think, wow, I want that. Look how they act. Look how they talk. Matthew parties. Here's another thought for you this morning. If you really want to live on the edge of life, this is where it can get pretty real, but pretty fun, and it's exciting, but some of us don't want to venture out that far because we think we get too scared or we're too shy, so I'm going to push you just a little bit. We got these things called care groups. Some of you are active in, some of you are not. Just be real blunt with you with that this morning as a pastor. Your care group should be inviting people from the outside, the unchurched. And what if you started doing that? So that's what Matthew was living like. That's what God calls us to share the love of Christ. He doesn't care how you do it. But a Matthew party is a great example of bringing people into your life, into the church, into the love of Christ. So maybe your faith's a little dry and you want a little spark. invite a few of your care group people together, and then go invite people from your community that aren't part of the church. And by the way, I just got a phone call this past week from the Baptist Church in Rock Rapids. They did this whole survey of Lyon County. And they asked me some questions, and they talked, and you know, about how many people do you have in church, and how big is your community, and they contacted every church in Lyon County. And they said, okay, I said, yeah, I'll give you my information, but you need to give me something back here. I want to know how this turns out. And so Friday I get an email from the pastor at the Baptist Church in Rock Rapids. He goes, Rob, you're not going to believe this, but in the city of Inwood, which is 812 people, I think, right now is where we're at, he goes, 170 have no church connection at all. I think might even be a little bit higher than that. That never enter a church on Sunday morning. Just in our little town. We have room to throw a few Matthew parties, don't we? We have some work to do as a church, don't we? To reach the lost of those that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you this morning as a church to throw some of those Matthew parties and live out there on the edge just a little bit to spread the love of Christ. Pray about that. Remember I asked you the question, who are you hanging out with? Some of these people are not easy to hang out with. But God calls you to hang out there. That's the whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ through His Word. And maybe some of you are doing that already. And God bless you for doing that. You know what Matthew was like. He was unworthy. The greatest of all sinners of the 12. You know, eventually Matthew, he went off to minister in his area, in his community, and he traveled the countryside preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Matthew gave his life for Jesus. And this is how we think he died, we're not for sure, but it's believed that he was staked to the ground and he was burned alive for Jesus Christ. He was martyred, as most of them were. And so may I encourage you today, may you give your life for Christ and the good news. And all of God's people said,